You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Pastor David Pate.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 43, and I will try and help you understand what that video had to do with being at church, and I will explain Isaiah chapter 43, and I want to look at this passage here because this is what we're going to take everything from. We're going to develop what we're talking about today is from a few verses here in this passage. Isaiah chapter 43, and we're going to look at verses 18 and 19. And this is a powerful passage. It says, "Do not cling to events of the past or dwell on what happened long ago, but watch for the new thing that I am going to do. It is happening already. You can see it now. And I will make a road through the wilderness, and I will give you streams of water there." This is going to be good. This part of Isaiah chapters 40 through 55, they call it Isaiah part 2. Because the nation of Israel from this moment forward is moving out of captivity. They were in slavery to the nation of Babylon. And the reason they kind of fell into this is they were in sin. So it kind of was there. But this was 50 years that they were in slavery. They were coming out of 50 years of slavery at this moment. And they had been stuck for 50 years. No progress was being made. They were living life going nowhere. There was motion, but the motion had no meaning. They were stuck. See, people were beginning at this time to question God. Is there a God? Is he even real? Is he even powerful? Has he abandoned us? I don't feel him. I don't see him. I don't notice him when I look around in the culture. It does not seem or feel like there is a God. So God told him, if you just graze your eyes to 16 and 17, God told them, because they were feeling this. This is what was going on inside of them. He said, "Remember Egypt and how he rescued them from slavery back then. See, you were stuck and I took you out of that. You were slaves and I set you free back then. You were stuck going nowhere and I separated the waters. And just like that I did that, I'm about to do something new in your life right now." Come on, tell the person next to you, God's about to do something new. Tell the person next to you, God's about to do something new. See, we're not good at that, man. We're not good at that. Man, can we try that again? We got to try that. If we're going to talk about mudding, we got to step up our vocal game. Look at the person next to you and say, "God's about to do something new." All right. Okay, here we go. Welcome. See, today we're going to be talking about stuck. And you got to kind of say it like that, stuck. We're going to be talking about stuck. See, God wants to do something new in our lives, but he can't when we're stuck in the past. See, God wants to do something new in us. And in verse 18, it says, "Don't cling to the past. Don't dwell there." And I want to ask us today, what are we clinging to? What are we dwelling on? What are these things that we're rehearsing over and over? What are we clinging to? What happened to us that has us stuck? Stephen Furtick said, "If we're always focused on what we've lost, then we can't access what we have now." See, if we're always stuck on what we lost, then we can't move on to what we actually do have right now. And in this passage in Isaiah, it was kind of weird because God said in verse 16, "Remember Egypt." And then he moves on to the next verse and he says, "Forget the past and don't cling to it." Okay, well, do you not want us to remember Egypt or not? This seems kind of weird. See, God didn't want them looking at what he did before and thinking that it couldn't happen for them today. He wanted them focused on something new could happen in their life now. He didn't want them formulating the frogs and the locusts and the Red Sea and saying, okay, well, I'm looking for that kind of stuff to happen. Listen, God's not a formula. He's not going to do what he did before. He wants to do something new in our lives. And he didn't want them looking back to where they were. See, when we cling to the past or we dwell on it, then we're stuck. It happened. But it's time to look for something new. And this isn't a difficult concept if you're from Jesseville or Fountain Lake. In Jesseville and Fountain Lake, you go mudding. And when you go mudding, you get stuck. How many of you have ever been stuck? Come on, be honest. Don't let your pride, guys. Come on, you've been stuck. Oh, I ain't never been stuck. You know what I'm saying? Stop lying. Stop lying. We're not talking about fishing right now. Stop lying. Now, if you grew up in the city and you're a transplant, unless you have been adopted like me and had people take you out and teach you how, then maybe you don't understand what we're talking about today. However, in first service, the people from the north said that they get stuck in the snow. Okay, it's not quite the same because they get wet. Okay, not quite the same. I got wet in the snow. Okay, it's not quite the same, but we'll sort of let you take that one. But when you're stuck, you press the gas and the tire spins and you're in motion, but you're not actually going anywhere. See, motion without meaning is in progress. You're stuck. And sometimes we're so busy because we're busy. Sometimes we're so busy that we don't even recognize I'm stuck because I'm busy. I'm moving. I'm going. No, we're stuck. And I wonder, how many in here are stuck right now? And I'm not talking about stuck like mudding stuck. I'm talking about stuck in our lives. I wonder how many right now in this room are stuck where we're at. We're in school, we're at work, we're busy, we're spinning, but we're not going anywhere. We have a family and we're doing family things and we're going to this game and going to that game and changing diapers and we're moving here and we're going to work and we're coming home and we're busy. But our family isn't going anywhere. See, we understand the term of being stuck, but do we recognize the condition of being stuck in our lives? Do we recognize the condition of stuck? Come on, some of us are stuck today. Some of us are stuck today. Come on, am I the only one that's been stuck before? See, God wants to take us into something new. What do you do when you're stuck? Don't keep pushing the gas. Make a change. Make a change. See, to get unstuck, we got to change what we're doing. Doing more of what we're doing is not going to get us unstuck. Spinning our wheels faster won't get us out. Turning the music up, ignoring it. I'm not stuck. That's not going to change the fact that we are stuck. And what is change? Change is doing something different. And we don't like change because change is painful. It's hurt. It's effort. It's uncomfortable. It's unknown. It's dirty. It's not fun. And you know, we're becoming an automated society. We're into automatic. We're into Siri. We're into Echo. We are into Alexa, you know. I mean, you know, back in the day, we actually had to get up and go turn the dial on the TV to change a channel. Then we learned that we could get a controller and didn't have to move. But then the lights were on. And now we can't have to get up and turn the lights off. So Alexa, handle that for me. Alexa, buy my Amazon Prime. I can't have to actually press the button on my phone to buy my Amazon Prime. I need Alexa to buy my Amazon Prime. You know, we're an automated society. The only problem is real life ain't automated. Real life isn't voice activated. There's no voice activated change. You can't say, Alexa, go to the gym for me. Alexa, lose 50 pounds for me. Alexa, break this habit for me. Alexa, make my wife love me. That's it. Alexa, raise my kids. That's not, Alexa, go to work for me. That's not how this works. Life is not automated. And if we're going to get unstuck, then we've got to make a change and we got to put this thing in four-wheel drive because two-wheel ain't working. We got to put this thing in four-wheel. And I'm not talking about 2019 four-wheel drive. I'm talking about old school. How many remember old school four-wheel drive? How do you put it old school four-wheel drive? You got to lock in the hubs. All four. Y'all know. Y'all with me right here. If you're from the north, you're like, I don't know. Sorry, sorry, that was a low blow. I repent for that. Alexa, erase that statement. But you got to lock in the hubs. And how do you lock in the hubs? You got to get out of the truck and you got to get in the mud. And if you have one of those awesome four-wheel drive lock-in hubs truck that I had, was you couldn't do it by hand. You had to have the client, you had to have the wrench, and you had to turn every one of those stupid things. And then you had to get back in your truck muddy, and then you started to go. See, if we're going to get unstuck, we got to get in the mud. We got to get dirty. It's going to take time. It's going to take sweat. It's going to take tools. See, we have been waiting for someone else to change while God has been trying to initiate change in us. We've been waiting for someone else to change while God is trying to initiate change in us. And listen, church, change isn't change unless we change. We got to do something different. We got to do something different. And change equals pain, but change also equals growth. Therefore, it's worth it. But it also takes action to change. We got to do something about it. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. See, the new creation has come. The old is gone. We have to make a change from old to new. See, making disciples is about changing. It's about being stuck and getting unstuck and becoming new. God wants to move us into something new. I like what Henry Cloud said. He said, without the ability to end things, people stay stuck, never becoming who they were meant to be, never accomplishing all that their talents and abilities should afford them. Now, let's talk about this, stuck. Stuck means different things to different people. What are we stuck in? And I wanted to write down some common areas and throw out some common areas today that we get stuck in. And you know, probably the number one common area that we get stuck in is we get stuck in sin. We get stuck in sin. That's kind of one that they're like, yeah, we're going to talk about that. What's another one we get stuck in? We get stuck in relationships. Now, in first service, I had somebody go, amen. And I was like, now, wait a minute. I'm not talking about you're stuck in the relationship you're in right now. That's not the kind of stuck that I'm talking about. And that was the feeling that I got up here. Here I am. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the relationship is stuck, okay? Another thing that we get stuck in is we get stuck in stages of life. And we don't move on to the next stage like we need to. And then the fourth one that we're going to address today is we get stuck in our own heads. We get stuck in our own heads and we can't move on. God can't do something new in our lives if we stay stuck. The first one, stuck in sin. Let's look at this. Let's start with this stuck because this is the one that we might realize the most. Sin is a habit that is hard to break. And it's a habit that even after we break it, it can come back. Why? The reason is because sin is a feed problem. It's not a need problem. Sin is a feed problem, it's not a need problem. We've convinced ourselves that we have to sin. We can't help it. It's who we are. I can't help it. I need to, but that's not true. All sin needs is to be fed. And so what we're doing is we're feeding it a lot and then saying I need to sin. See, what we consume is what we crave. What we consume is what we crave. And the reason that we're stuck in sin is we're consuming things that our flesh craves. And so then our spirit is overwhelmed and then we cannot help it and we're stuck in sin. James chapter 1 verse 14 said, but each person is tempted when they're dragged away by their own evil desires. And these desires are conceived. They give birth to sin. And when sin is full grown, we die. See, what happens is we're tempted by these own cravings that we have in our lives. And instead of cutting them off, we feed them. See, temptation. So what we do is we feed, we sin, we feel bad, we repent, and we repeat. We feed, we sin, we feel bad, we repent, and we repeat. But if we don't stop the feed, then we get convinced that we can't help it. I can't help it. I'm stuck in this sin cycle. I can't get out of it. I'm stuck in this sin cycle. Well, we're going to have to change our feed. We got to change our feed. If we're stuck, we got to make a change. We got to put it in four-wheel drive. See, if we're stuck, we got to make a change. And when we're stuck in sin, we got to change our feed because we crave what we feed. Sin's a feed problem, not a unique problem. See, we think, I'm the only one. I can't help it. When here's what we need to know. Whatever it is that we're individually dealing with it, I guarantee you there's 25 more people in this very room today that are dealing with the same thing that we're dealing with. But see, we want to be told you're unique. You can't help it. You're an individual. You can't help it. Listen, we are all dealing with the same thing. If you don't take notes on one thing, write this down. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There's one verse that you've got to have. This is your verse. 1 Corinthians 10:13 is so powerful because this right here is the deception. And it's almost like the Bible knows the exact deception that the enemy uses. It's crazy. It's almost like that. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to people. I can't help it. I was born this way. This is just who I can't help. That's the enemy keeping us stuck. It says, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can endure. See, the problem is God provides a way out and we shut the door. God provides a way out. We're like, nope, I'm going to keep feeding. See, our temptation is common and we keep feeding it thinking we're the only one. See, we want to be special. We want to be different. We want to be unique. The problem is we're all the same. We're all tempted. And we're all messed up in here. That's what it is. We're all tempted. We're all messed up. And if we feed it, it's obvious. And when we crucify it, but it's still going to be there. See, the lie is I'm the only one dealing with this particular sin. I'm the only one checking out other women. Come on, that's what men think. You need to know you ain't the only one. I'm the only one smoking pot. Wrong. I'm the only one that's attracted to my same gender. I'm the only one with this gambling addiction. I'm the only one that wants out of my marriage. Come on, we got to quit convincing ourselves that our story is so special that we can't get unstuck from it. We've got to quit convincing ourselves because it's a feed problem, not a need problem. I need to do this. I need out. See, you know why we think this? Because we think if we're the only one dealing with this, then we don't have to change. We can stay stuck because we can't help it. We got to quit feeding and we got to start fighting. Come on, look at someone and say, I'm going to fight this thing. Come on, look at someone and say, I'm going to fight this thing. Man, we're talking about mudding today. We got to try again. Look at someone and say, I'm going to fight this thing. All right. If we're going to get stuck, we got to get dirty. We got to talk. We got to do something here. We got to take action. We don't like to talk. We don't like to take action because it's painful to change. It means denying our flesh. But being a Christ follower is about having a childlike faith with an adult-like commitment. I'm going to say that again. Being a Christ follower is having a childlike faith with an adult-like commitment. Kids do what they want, when they want, how they want, but they're learning to grow and mature. Adults should be denying the destructive wants, should be committing and doing the right thing. We got to change our feed. Matthew 5:29 says, if your eye causes you to sin, what does it say? Cut it out. If your hand caused you to sin, cut it off. Was God saying that we need to be a bunch of pirates in the church? No. What he was saying is this is a physical example of a spiritual condition, and extreme action is necessary. And if that friend is causing you to sin, cut them out of your life. If that device is causing you to sin, cut it out of your life. If going there and being involved in that hobby is causing you to be stuck in sin, cut it out of your life. Man, that sounds extreme. Yes, extreme action is necessary. And better to be without that device than to be stuck in sin and not walking in the newness that God has for you. Come on, we got to change our feed. We got to change our feed. We got to cut that out. We got to cut out that craving. We got to quit feeding that thing. What's more important? What is it that we're feeding on that we got to stop feeding? Number two, we'll get off that one. Stuck in relationships. stuck in relationships. Relationships are the most important thing that we have. Most important. The relationship with God, relationship with people, most important thing. What is the goal, or what should be the goal of relationships? The goal of relationships should be to please the other person. Should be to serve, to make happy, to make sure the other person in a relationship, our goal should be to think about the other person. Relationships are about selflessness. What can I do for the other person? But for some reason, we abandon these over time and we revert to selfishness. What can I get out of this? Instead of what can I put into this thing? See, we get into wanting the other person to make me happy. See, God doesn't make me happy anymore. What has happened? We've become the focus. We've become self-centered instead of God-centered. I'm bored in church. What is that? When we say that statement, you know what that says? That says we were looking for church to make us happy instead of for us looking to make church happy. And see, but we're stuck. We get stuck. We get stuck in this wrong cycle. See, my boyfriend doesn't make me happy. My wife doesn't make me happy. The goal of relationships should be to make the other person happy, but we get stuck. We get stuck in our relationship. In dating, in marriage, we get stuck. We get selfish. Melissa and I have been stuck. She isn't what I want her to be, so I'm not going to be what she wants me to be. And we get stuck in this cycle, and you stay in a stuck cycle of relationship long enough, and what's the answer? I want out. So we become selfish, we get increasingly selfish, and then we do the ultimate selfish thing, and we say bye. But we got stuck in our relationships, and God is saying he wants to do something new. He wants to do something new in your relationship. Come on, been married 10 years, been married 5 years, been married 20 years. We were talking to one of the interns about something. We were talking in family life class, and they said, oh, that's probably like 15 years into marriage, right? We were like, no, try 2 months. It doesn't take long to get in a selfish cycle. It doesn't take long. Come on, God wants to do something new. Y'all were so in love. What happened? He wants to do something new. He wants to turn our focus to our mate and get it off ourselves, and he wants to cause us to fall in love again, because that's the perfect state, but we get stuck in the imperfect state. Same with God. We get caught in a selfish cycle. God's not doing for me. God's not doing for me. Come on, God sent his son for us. He gave us his word. He gave us his Holy Spirit. What more do our selfish selves need? Why don't we start giving to him for a change? And it's amazing how much we'll fall back in love with God and get out of our stuckness. Come on, God wants to do something new in his relationship with you and him. He wants to do something new with your relationship, whether it's dating, whether it's marriage. It wasn't meant to be stuck. We didn't buy that 4x4 to stay stuck. We bought that thing to get through this. We didn't get into this relationship to stay stuck. We got in this so I have someone that can help me and we can move forward through this thing. But we're stuck. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. Come on, no longer I that lives. How do we get unstuck in a relationship? We got to change the center. We got to change the center. When we're stuck in sin, we got to change the feed. When we're stuck in a relationship, we got to change the center. And I'm no longer the center. God's got to be the center. See, I'm no longer the center. Melissa's got to be the center. When we get selfish in relationships, it's because we become the center, and we got to change the center. We got to change the center. Ephesians 5, we don't have time to go there, but it just talks about wives being devoted to husbands, husbands being devoted to wives. What's it talking about? Serving each other, loving each other. What can I do? How can I help? What have I done wrong? What can I do to change? It's amazing how much we start to fall in love with people who ask us those questions. When people start saying, what can I do to make your life amazing? I all of a sudden begin to fall in love with those types of people. It's crazy how that works. It's crazy. Melissa says, babe, what can I do for you? What can I cook? How can, what date can we go? It's just, I love you. Oh my God. I don't know how this happened. I love you. It's amazing. But we get stuck in this selfish cycle. We get stuck. We're in the center. Singleness to oneness takes a lot of change. We're natural at being the center of our lives and being selfish. But it's a process of making God the center. It's a process of making our mate the center. But we got to get unstuck in our relationships. Number three, we get stuck in a stage of life. We get stuck in a stage of life. Life is about steps and stages, and it's important that we're in the right stage at the right time. We got junior high students living like they're still in elementary and can't help it anymore and can't control themselves. We got college students living like they're in high school and have no responsibility when they're an adult and need to be taking responsibility and doing the difficult thing. We got 20 and 30 year olds who are out of college, out of school, but still in the home when they should be adulting. School is done. College is done. It is time to adult. And that is becoming an epidemic in our society today. We got married people living and acting like they're still single, hanging out with single friends a lot. That's not what married people do. Single friends have single thoughts. And now that we are married, I only hang with married people because single people are not going to take me anywhere in this new stage that I am in life. My hunting guys, the guys that I go duck hunting with are now married people. They are not single people. I don't play basketball with single people because they got more energy. So I definitely play with married people. They're easier to hang to beat. So that's a whole different reason I do that. We got moms. Got to be careful that we're not in mom mode. Mom mode's a temporary mode. It's not a permanent mode. And when they're out of the house, we aren't mom mode anymore. And we forget to be wife mode, and we forget to woo, and we forget to be in that stage. See, we get stuck in a holding pattern instead of advancing to the next stage. Life's on hold. Life's on pause. See, we're aging, but we're not staging. We're aging, but we're not staging. We're stuck. How do we change? We got to change our stage. We got to graduate. We got to move on. See, when we're in sin, we got to change our feed. When we're stuck in a relationship, then we got to change our center. When we're stuck in a stage, we got to level up. We got to change our stage. Jesus was the goat of stages. He knew he was the greatest of all time. He knew when it was time to move. Remember when they ran out of wine and his mom said, "Hey, do your thing." And he's like, "Whoa, it's not my time yet. It's not my time." But remember when he told the disciples, "It's time for me to die on the cross." See, Jesus was always all about being in the right stage at the right time. Think about 1 Corinthians 13. When I was a child, what happened? I thought, I talked, and I reasoned as a child. And you know what? If you're a child, there's nothing wrong with that. But when you become an adult, there is something wrong with thinking, talking, and acting like a child. "I'm out of here. I'm out of here. Bye." That's what a child does. An adult stays in there and does what adults do. Come on, it's time to get out of the wrong stage and move on to the right stage. Dads, it's time to be a dad. Dads, we're not in single stage anymore. That hunting trip may need to take a back seat unless your little man can go with you. That basketball game may need to take a back seat unless your daughter can go with you. But it's time to be a dad. It's time to put up single dad, singleness. And it's dad time. It's raise kids time. It's not abandon mom like she's single time. But see, we don't know what stage we're in. And we're not living and acting, and so we're stuck. And we can't walk into the new that God has for us. Last one is we're stuck in our own heads. The thoughts in our minds keep us stuck. What we think about ourselves, what we think about other people, what we think about the future or the past or what's possible, our heads get us stuck. It causes us to be stuck in our lives. Fear. What if? What if? Fear. What if? What if this happens? What if that happens? If this happens again, they hurt me last time, and so they hurt me again. And so I'm never going into anything new because I'm stuck in my head. Insecurity, self-doubt, hurt, depression. What if I can't make it? What if I get hurt? What if I make a change and I'm nobody anymore? And here's who I was. And if I become this and I'm not what I was, am I anything anymore? What if I stay here or go there and I'm not happy? I think the greatest example of stuck in our heads was Gideon. Remember back in Judges chapter 6, Gideon's hiding in a wine press, hiding from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord comes at the tree and says, "Hey, Gideon, mighty hero, step up and go fight and go do." And Gideon said, "I know you're not talking to me. I'm nothing. My family's nothing. I was raised nothing. I got no degree. I'm stupid. I'm nothing. I'm going nowhere. I don't make no money. I'm nothing. I'm not in the military. I can't step up. I can't do anything. His head had him stuck. God saw him a different way. His head had him stuck. See, Gideon was stuck in his own head. I can't change because I'm nobody. I'm not good enough. Insecurity. See, you're a dropout. You're a divorcee. You're an addict. You're not worthy to be unstuck. This is the life that you deserve. See, you are who you are, and your head games keep you stuck. You're stuck in that thing that happened to you in the past. You're a victim. See, our own head is isolating us, and it can be a prison. I'm the only one that wants to commit suicide in this room. I'm the only one struggling with the body image that I have, and I hate myself. I'm the only one that isn't good enough. I'm the only one that doesn't have a future. I'm the only one that's been violated and abused. I'm the only one, and I can't get over this. See, when we're stuck in our head, we got to change our thoughts. When we're stuck in sin, we got to change our feed. When we're stuck in our relationship, we got to change our center. When we're stuck in a stage, it's time to level up. We got to change our stage and get in the right one. And then when we're stuck in our head, we got to change our thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments." We got to cast down. We got to throw down those things that are in our heads. Come on, let's get real today. Let's bring this thing together. Let's get real. What has us stuck? Because if the church is stuck, we're not making disciples. We're not moving forward. We're not taking this community. We're not changing America. We're not changing this world. Come on, what has us stuck? Because some of us in here are in change based on what's in our mind, based on what's talking in our head, that self-talk, those self-doubt, those thoughts, looking in the mirror, coming up with these wrong things. Come on, what is it that's got us stuck in our head games? God wants to take us to a new level. Some of us are stuck in the bondage of sin. Not only is our own flesh getting us with sin, this culture is convincing us that we can't help us. And so we're believing the culture instead of believing the Creator. We're believing the culture instead of believing the manufacturer that made us and wrote the manual on how we work and how we operate. And so we're stuck in the mud, and we have a four-wheel drive option, and we're not using it because we're believing the culture that has told us we don't even have it. So we're stuck in sin. And we're stuck in bondage, and we're saying, "I cannot help it." I'm telling you, God wants to do something new. But we're stuck. Stuck in our relationships. Come on. You were so in love when you first got married. You were so in love. What happened? You so preferred them. You so did for them. You so thought of them. You so did. And then somewhere along the line, a switch flipped, and we got stuck in this rut of a relationship. And God wants you to fall back in love with your relationship again. God wants you to fall back in love with Him again. But we got to change our center. We got to change our center. We got to change our stage. Don't get stuck in a stage. Not too long ago, I was driving my son's truck. He's got a little 1992 Ford Ranger, bought it for $800. Got a good deal on it. It runs. It's two-wheel drive, and I drove up, and we were building our house, and I was talking to the builders, and I drove up talking to the builders, and then I backed out of the driveway, and I backed into a ditch. And the one tire that spins was in the air. And all the builders were laughing at me, and they all ran over. And it's this little Ford Ranger. And they all got around it, and they picked it up, and they sat it on the road. And then I drove off. You know, sometimes we can be working hard as we want to, but we need help. Sometimes we get stuck, and we can't get unstuck by ourselves. We need people around us that will pick us up out of the mud, walk us over to the road and say, God wants to do something new in you, and I want to be here for you to help you walk in that new. But the biggest thing the enemy wants to do is isolate us. He isolates us in our sin. He isolates us in our relationship. He isolates us in our wrong stage. And he isolates us where we're at in our own heads. Sometimes we got to get around people. If we're around the wrong people, they're not going to help you get unstuck. They're going to make you more stuck. You got to get around the right people that are going to push you, that are going to get muddy with you, that are going to push you. Come on, you ever push someone out of the mud? Oh, it's fun. Then you fall when they get going. It's great. Love it. Sometimes we need the Holy Spirit, the greatest helper of all. And we need to get in our prayer closet. And we need to get the power of the Holy Spirit moving in our lives, because he can push us out of that stuck. Come on, God wants to do a new thing in your life. New is on its way. New is coming. God hasn't called you to be stuck. He has called you to be free. Isaiah 43, do not cling to the events of the past. Do not dwell on what happened long ago. Watch for the new thing that I am going to do. It is happening already. It is happening already. We just got to begin to accept and allow God to change us. Come on, church. Are we watching for the new thing? Are we looking for the new thing? Because he wants to do the new thing in us and through us. We're not waiting on God. He's waiting on us. Don't be stuck. Stop going mudding and get unstuck. Let's stand here this morning. Where you ministered to today, where you ministered to today. Come on, we can get stuck. It's easy to do. It's easy to do. Come on, let's pray over this week. This week, we're getting unstuck this week. This week, we're getting unstuck, and then we're going to help other people get unstuck. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that stuck is not a state that you have for us. God, new is what you have for us. God, Christian Ministries Church, I pray that it would be a church that is not stuck. We may have mud on the vehicle. We may have mud on our shoes. Our hands may be dirty. We are not perfect. We may not have the perfect wax vehicle, but God, you are going to have us. Our marriage, it don't look perfect, but it's going to be unstuck. It's going to be new. We're going to be in love. We may have some things that are scars, but we are going to move into the new. God, if we're going to make disciples, we got to be real about where we're at so that we can reach Jesseville, Fountain Lake, Mount Pine, Hot Springs, Benton, Bryant, Little Rock, Arkansas, United States. God, that Christian Ministries Church would be a light in this culture, but we can't do it being fake and stuck. God, take us to new levels. God, we are anticipating you doing something new. Holy Spirit, we need you to move in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the CMC Podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.